What is up, everybody?
Mile Higher Homies, how's it hanging?
What's up, Mile Higher Homies?
I'm over here hitting my vape.
It's getting foggy up in here.
Just kidding. This actually is not a vape. Well, it is a vape, but it is not. It doesn't have vape juice in it. It has CBD vape juice.
Which, speaking of the devil.
Yeah. Should we just wait? Tell them about this. This is so cool because I'm going to be hitting on this, and I want you guys to know that I'm not. There's no nicotine or anything in it.
No harmful chemicals.
It is all derived from hemp CBD.
Yes, all natural hemp oil.
Which is the female part of the plant, of the marijuana plant.
We're getting into that again.
I don't remember. But yeah, so it's all completely legal. Buylegalmeds.com.
Yes. It's the same company that makes the Cloud Nine hemp syrup, which if you've never had this or tried it, it's, again, legal everywhere. It's amazing, guys. It's natural medicine. It's great for sleeping. Like if you have trouble falling asleep,
anxiety,
this will literally like calm you down.
It has a Xanax like effect if you've ever
tried. Lay you in bed like a baby and sing you a lullaby and you're off to sweet dreams.
Completely natural, healthy,
really good stuff.
Great, great product. So yeah, buylegalmeds.com. The code is Kendall Ray for free shipping. They also sell CBD
vape juice. They also sell CBD flower.
This is bubblegum. And we add the syrup, if you're wondering, we add the syrup to Sprite and we call it CBD lean.
Yeah. Or
we
you have can do it juice night. Or whatever. Yeah.
I have replaced my sleeping pills completely with this stuff. It's that good. Like I would not just tell you guys. It is amazing. And honestly, if any of you guys out there have never tried CBD, you'd barely need any of it. Like the servings are like, I think, too big. But
it's incredible stuff.
I just wanted to share that. I thought that was cool. I just know so many of my fans. That was the most common question I got today is like how to deal with anxiety. I asked them. I did a Q&A on Twitter. But anyway.
Help of natural medicine.
Sorry. I just wanted to share my cool little new toy. This is my sister's vape.
Well, it's ours now. So, but thank you guys for joining us for episode number 10. We are at 10 weeks now.
Oh my God.
Isn't that exciting? This is episode number 10. This is a big milestone.
It's so cool.
We didn't quit.
We didn't quit and it's gone so well.
Yes.
We're blown away with the amount of you guys that are listening and interacting and rating us. I mean, it's
truly incredible. It's truly incredible. Like I can't even believe it sometimes. I'm like, pinch me. Am I in a dream here? Like we started this podcast with literally no idea how it was going to go, if anybody would listen, because we're brand new to podcasting. And usually when you start a podcast, you start out like with a small number of people listening to you.
Yeah.
And the fact that like we're almost getting like 20,000 people listening to our podcast, just listening like on their own. And then YouTube is just like a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's so amazing. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Like seriously, it means a lot.
I thought we were going to end up getting like 5,000 to 10,000 views per podcast. The fact that they're like, all approaching 100,000.
It's insane.
Awesome.
It's absolutely insane.
I think this is my new love. I might like this more than my channel. I love
podcasting. Dude, it's so fun.
And it feels like our natural medium. Like this feels so natural for us.
Well, that's the thing is like before we started this, we used to like just be sitting in the living room together and just talking about stuff. And we're like
might as well record this for people.
God, wouldn't it be cool if we like could like let people listen to us, because I think people would find our conversations interesting
instrument.
So. Except I still can't always speak English on the podcast for some reason.
Oh, poor Josh.
But
okay,
yes, thank you guys so much. The reviews have been awesome, and if you ever want to help support us in a different way than just tweeting us or leaving a comment or something, leaving a review and rating the podcast on iTunes especially really does help out.
Yeah, it does.
With the podcast getting known and just, getting our name out there and spreading this information to the masses, which is very important. So definitely leave a rating or review.
You don't even have to write anything.
One star to five stars.
don't give us one.
Yeah. Please don't give us one. No, you can give us one if you really think we suck, but we've gotten great response. So thank you guys for that. One other thing I wanted to mention is
you think we suck.
You never know. There could be somebody literally listening that's just like, I hate this podcast.
What? They suck.
They suck. Guys aren't professional.
Oh man.
Some people. But just real quick, thank you to the stellar patrons who have been very loyal supporters for a while. We have Elizabeth B, Rebecca H, Chase C, Jake C, and Jim W. Thank you guys so much. It really means a lot, especially to anyone that joins the Patreon family. All you patrons out there, thank you so much. We just did a Patreon
live stream.
That was really fun. This. Yes.
Yeah, we had like 15 people on it, and we got to know them and like where they're from and just like about their life, what they do, how many kids they have, how many pets they have. Like, it was really fun.
Just absolutely. It just felt like we were hanging out with like 10 people, you know?
So all Patreon levels get to do those live streams. So definitely check it out. Patreon starts at like $2.
Yes. Yes. Definitely check it out. But today's Patreon question is from Anna. And Anna asked us, I think it's an interesting question because I'm not even sure what my answer is going to be, but when and what was the first news story that you personally questioned and why?
Ooh, Anna. Hmm.
I know what mine is because...
Personally questioned. MH370. Definitely. That was definitely the first one because like I don't even think I was even that into conspiracies or aliens or anything when that first started. But I was like, this is some fuckery. They're telling us this plane just like disappeared.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but maybe, I don't know. That was definitely the first one I questioned. I don't know if... You know, there's anything to question.
I was going to say 9/11, like, because remember we watched that 9/11 documentary?
Like, but like, I think they mean like news story to like come out and then you like have a reaction to it.
Okay.
Like, obviously we both, 9/11 after we saw a documentary, but we were both in first grade when that happened. Or second grade?
We were super young in 2001. But yeah, news story then. Oh, shoot. Yeah, MH370. God. I don't know. That's a tough one because I guess there hasn't been a ton of news.
We found out a lot about things like after.
Yeah. Well, you know? Like a lot of things don't like, you know, come out till way later about like things like that that turn out to be false or, you know, seem fishy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any of the UFO sightings have been interesting, like that one that was seen over L.A. that Julian captured.
Dude, great footage.
Which I think ends up being like a rocket or something, but I don't think there was a rocket launched at that time.
I just don't believe that though, because why was it bizarre. Over LA?
Yeah, well, the Navy said they were doing some sort of missile test, I think, or something.
Over LA.
Yeah, like over LA. I mean, it was over the ocean, but it was like...
No, it was like above LA. LA.
Yeah, I guess so.
It wasn't close enough. It was literally up going above them.
Yeah, which if you haven't seen that video, just Google like blue UFO.
Yeah,
LA.
And then watch Julian Solomita's footage of it.
Yeah, he captured it and went viral. But it's like, it looks like a, like, I guess, orb, like a blue orb of light going across the sky. But it does have like almost like a trail behind it, a blue trail.
Mm.
And then what's interesting, though, is that literally it just like vanishes after, I don't know, a minute or so.
That it even opens, like, and I swear, like, maybe it's just me, but I swear I can like hear it in the video. It sounds like
I
could have sworn, like, if you wear headphones, damn, I can definitely hear it, but maybe not. I just really, I don't know, it could be one of those things. Like, have you ever seen things where they'll play a video with no sound, but it's like shows that there's sound, so you think there's sound? It could be kind of like that.
Yeah,
like there's like videos of people jumping, but it's like silent, but you can like hear it because they like make these, I don't know. This is probably so hard to listen to. Anyway.
Well, her second half of the question, though, was how old were you when you first started looking at the media from a different perspective? And what do you think the cause of it was?
Okay. So, I mean, I'm a slow bloomer with this stuff, to be real. Like, I believed in conspiracies before I realized the news was bullshit. That was actually fairly new for me. Probably in the last, since like the whole, just the Bernie Sanders bullshit, I was like, wow. You know, that's when I was just like, oh my God, this is, they just,
yeah, I mean,
him.
The last election, just him. Like seeing how much coverage Donald Trump got on all of the news outlets was just kind of like, wow, they really are going to give this guy all the attention when, like you said, Bernie Sanders was selling, you know, like literally packing out convention centers and was raising all sorts of money and he got zero airtime. Like, he got no airtime on any of the major news
we
outlets
literally
compared
couldn't even get
to
in.
Clinton or Trump. So. Yeah. Just terrible.
It really is. And just like all, just the bullshit, the slanting, the lies. There's just like cutting people off on live TV. Like even MSNBC does that when people are talking about oil or something to do with Russia or, you know, just important things. things people should know.
Yeah, and I mean, especially once we started discovering like alternative news outlets, yes, and media outlets, Vice. Like Vice, The Young Turks, things like that.
Yeah.
Collective Evolution, okay, things like that. And we started, you know, you start realizing that when you start getting that's how you get a different perspective, is you just got to find people or organizations that are presenting different evidence for an event or something that's happening. And then you just have to think about it and decide which one you believe. And
right,
if you're a rational person, what you start realizing is a lot of the shit that they're feeding us on CNN is just bullshit. It's like,
yeah, all of them,
you know, and it doesn't matter who's the host on CNN. They're all feeding us the same narrative. I mean, CNN's the worst because they just literally replay the same headlines all day.
And I'm just so sick of it because it's like, I don't even feel like it's watching the news. You turn it on to watch like the latest Trump gossip or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like TMZ,
and it's normally
for politics.
Like a panel. They're like, it's not even reporting news stories. No. It's just like, okay, what do these random people think of this? It's like, I don't give a fuck what they think. Tell me the facts so I can make up my own mind. So yeah, seeing how much like Vice was covering from around the world that CNN just like doesn't talk about, I was like, I mean, Americans are so sheltered, it's like not even funny. And in this day and age, you really have to take it into your own hands to inform yourself. As all of you guys know, you're here listening to us because you want to be informed. You want to, you know, learn about things that you're being kept from. And that's great.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're looking for suggestions for like, you know, how do I get the news in this unbiased format? And like, if you have access to the Viceland channel, Vice News Tonight, which is like something they do 5 days a week, it's like 30 minutes long, but they actually cover like interesting stories that are happening around the globe, good or bad, that really like matter. And you, like, anytime I watch it, I'm like, shit, I didn't know that was going on.
Or I learn a lot from it.
You learn a ton, because like, if you just flip any of the news channels, I mean, other than like ABC World News with David Muir, you know, it's like,
yeah,
other than him, like, not, you don't see too many like
just reporting the news.
On, yeah, reporting the news, exactly. So
on the news, imagine that.
Yeah, it's gotten so bad, but who cares about the fucking news? I hate the news.
I do too.
But the first thing we wanted to talk about today is just been exploding since yesterday when this went viral. And that's this fucking weird ass voicemail. You guys have been asking us what we think about it. So we were like, let's wait till the podcast to talk about
it. Dude, no joke.
It's weird. It's
so many people have asked me, like, I have been getting at least like 10 an hour that are like, please look into this, Kendall, look into this.
Well, because it is
interesting.
It's so like outrageous and just so like, holy shit. You know, everybody has a holy shit moment when they hear this, because it's like, what if this is true? What if this is real? You know, what happened? So we'll go ahead and play the voicemail for you guys so you can hear what this is all about. And then we'll dive into it and tell you what we think. So here we go. Oh, hang on. Sorry.
Sierra Delta.
All right, let me start it over. Sorry.
It's silent in the first couple seconds.
Yeah.
This is a screen recording of someone's phone. Some like random dude on Twitter.
Sierra Delta Alpha November Gol Echo Romeo Sierra Oscar Sierra India Tango India Sierra Delta India, Romeo, Echo, Foxtrot, Oscar, Romeo, Yankee, Oscar, Uniform, Tango, Oscar, Echo, Victor, Alpha, Charlie, Uniform, Alpha, Tango, Echo, Bravo, Echo, Charlie, Alpha, Uniform, Tango, India, Oscar, Uniform, Sierra, Tango, Hotel, Echo, Yankee, Alpha, Romeo, Echo, November, Oscar, Tango, Hotel, Uniform, Mike, Alpha, November, 0429339642300, Sierra, Oscar, Sierra, Delta, Alpha, November, Gol, Echo, Romeo, Sierra, Oscar, Sierra.
All right.
Okay.
Wow. That was weird. Creepy. I don't know.
That's obviously, is that military or police?
It's military. police don't use that exact. They have a different, slightly different code. So it's definitely military. As far as the alphabet, I forget what kind of alphabet they call it, but they use like it's code names for different letters. So it clearly sounds like
the first letter of every word, it comes together and it spells out. So people obviously have decoded this.
Right. So if you understand the alphabet, then you can basically decipher the message, and the message says danger, SOS, it is dire for you to evacuate, be cautious, they are not human, SOS, danger, SOS.
I'm confused because SOS is like a distress signal, not a warning.
Yeah, that's what's weird about it, is like SOS is like, I mean, unless it's like SOS, we're out in the middle of the ocean or something, that's kind of the thing, you know. Like, maybe it's a message. So, the main thing with this, so there's obviously...
We're out in the middle of the ocean? Oh, because...
On a boat or something.
Well,
like,
tell them why.
Right. So, if you're on a boat and your boat's sinking or your airplane's going down, I think, maybe not even airplane. One of the things you say over the radio is like, SOS, SOS, which, I need to look up what it means, but I can't remember. It means...
What does SOS
mean? Save our ship.
Yeah.
Save our ship is SOS. So that's what's weird about it, is it's like SOS, danger. Yeah. Save our ship.
That seems a little amateur, like mistake.
It almost seems like too convenient to be like SOS just like freaks people out when you hear SOS.
Yeah, it's like alert.
Right.
Yeah, that's weird.
So,
but the thing is in the voicemail at the end of it, there's like coordinates. If you heard those numbers. So their longitude and latitude.
It's a set of numbers. But so there's been a person on Twitter that I think called Straight Away is the handle, but they basically like kind of like dove into this a little bit to see if they could figure out what the message meant. And I think people have really probably dug way too far into this.
Because this has gone viral.
Because this has gone super viral. I think when I saw it, I had like 272,000 like retweets or likes or something like ridiculous. But people have not only deciphered the message, but they got the set of numbers from it. And apparently if you put those together as coordinates and you plug them into Google, it apparently sends you to a location near Malaysia. Like almost on Malaysia, it looks like. So right.
Singapore?
It's like on, it's Malaysia, so, but yeah, so there's, points to a place in Malaysia. So what people are saying is that maybe somehow, some way, the black box, which is a recording box on the airplane MH370, is like sending a message out.
Oh.
That's what people are saying.
Wow, that's creative.
Because of the coordinates. Could They're be. Like, well, the coordinates are near Malaysia, and Malaysian, you know, flight MH370 disappeared. So, and we never found the black box, because normally when a plane goes down,
the black box doesn't call.
It does. It does. I mean, it doesn't, like, why would it call some random dude's cell phone number? Like,
yeah,
that's what's weird about it.
They can call, though, the boxes?
It can. It's supposed to communicate back to, like, air traffic control. But
does it do that via phone?
No, and like no, code it probably uses a satellite. It probably doesn't even use like a cell data signal.
Too. I don't know if you can like record a little message.
I don't know if it's like a Siri message of like alpha. Why would they make it like that?
Well, Josh and I were like, this sounds like someone just typed into notes on Siri.
Yeah.
And like had Siri play it. Play it out. I want to hear it.
I don't have it typed.
I'll do it then. Oh, Josh. Falling behind, my man. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think the person that posted it is like lying.
Do you know how to make Siri?
I think that someone pranked them. Now everyone's getting pranked. They pranked like thousands of people. Unless it's real. Unless it's real.
The whole non-human thing too is like really interesting, because it's like danger. They're not human. So they're obviously alluding to probably like aliens or something. So other theories are like, well, maybe aliens had something to do with MH370, which... Yeah, maybe aliens did have something to do with MH370.
That was like one of the first things I thought too. They definitely could have actually. Because, I mean, it just disappeared, dude. We got to do a whole podcast on MH370. Yeah, it's a really interesting story. I was obsessed with that case.
Oh, I know. It's so interesting.
Oh, I watched so many hours of CNN. What's, remember that dude, Richard Quest?
Oh, yeah.
He was like the dude that was on it.
Yeah.
He was like the guy for it.
But this person that like started doing all this investigation started really digging into it. Another thing that he did was he took the numbers from the message, which was 062-933-964-230, I think. And he Googled it. And apparently this like one website comes up on Google, and it's some like Chinese website for this professor named Young Kien or something. And apparently he's doing like some sort of research or something, some like weird research or something. So they're saying maybe that it's like supposed to like point something to his facility, and that maybe he's doing some weird testing and there's like aliens involved or something. But then again, why would somebody just call out a random number from China, and why would they say SOS?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think what a lot of people have to realize is like everything that is like bizarre and weird that happens doesn't necessarily point to what you think it is straight off the bat. Like a lot of people like to just be like, they're not human. And if somebody just says that, they just automatically assume aliens are somehow involved or it's real. And you have to remember that with any of this stuff, it's very easy to fall gullible to this type of stuff. Like, because like when you become a fan of this type of content, of course, whenever you hear a news headline or like something going viral that like might prove what you're, you know, learning about or, you know, what you're a fan of, you're going to like want it to be real. But that doesn't mean it's real. So you just have to remember to always like verify your sources. And obviously with this, you can't verify anything. For all we know, the kid could have literally did a Siri note and then like did Star 67,
he could have
called himself and like had Siri read this message. So
okay, I'm gonna try to do Siri on it. Let's see what it sounds like.
Sierra Oscar Sierra Tango Hotel Oscar Tango.
Why does it sound in Spanish? Oh, because maybe it
recognizes the words as like Spanish words or something. Like tango.
What? Oh my gosh, you guys. This is so immature right now.
Sierra Oscar Sierra Tango Hotel Oscar Tango.
No, definitely that's in Spanish.
Wow.
Why is it doing that? It says it's supposed to be in English.
That's all right. Whatever. I mean, you could probably try it on your own. You could probably try to, you know, type out this message in those like alpha tango, all the military letters, and then have Siri read it back to you in Siri's voice. Because it honestly sounds like Siri reading it. Like reading the message in the voicemail. Yeah,
it seriously does. I don't know why your Siri wants to speak Spanish, but like it
won't
do it.
It's smart. It knows that I'm... It's
saying
like,
yo tango.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible that... So I'm going to conclude that this was probably like 90% faked. Like this is just like a fake prank or something.
Well, I actually saw some stuff online about similar calls like this going out to people in the past, like pranks like this.
Yeah.
What if it's an alien message, though, and it's like just happened to end up on this phone?
I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's probably less likely than a prank.
Yeah. I definitely think this is probably a prank. That's my first guess for sure. Just because it's such a Siri voice. If it was something different, I don't know. It's just like,
Like if shit was really hitting the fan and like aliens were like, you were like having an emergency with aliens that you really, like,
why did they just send it?
Why would you
dude?
Take the time to like spell out everything in like military code? Like if you were being attacked by aliens, I'd be like, fuck, aliens, shit, they're here, they're killing, you know, like I would give some
like,
details.
What is the word for tea? What is the word for tea?
Yeah.
Tango.
Be like, help. Like, something more frantic than SOS. Yeah,
they are not
SOS. Yeah,
that sounds
they're
like,
not human. Danger.
Plus,
evacuate.
Those coordinates are not of like where MH370 went down though.
No,
at all.
It's not at all. No.
Or like where they think it could have.
No. MH370
that's
went down.
That's a stretch. I feel like that's just like someone saw it was Malaysia, so they connected it to that.
It's a well orchestrated prank. So whoever did it, kudos to you. You fooled the world.
You fooled the world. Unless it was literally someone pranked that guy. What if it's like one of his friends pranked him and he...
And why this random dude like named Ty? Like why? Out of everybody, why would you want this like crazy message to go to... Like wouldn't you want Trump to hear it? Like, or Trump to get it or something?
It's crazy how much stuff can go viral now for like
that's what things. I'm saying is like it's easy to there is a fake news problem.
There
I'm
is.
I'm sorry, and there is.
There's Josh and I, like, with what we're doing, guys, like, I'm sure you know after listening to us for a long time that we take this really seriously and we really try to make sure that we are never pushing false information on you guys. Anything that we're not sure about, we always specify, like, but we're not sure. There's no proof for this or, you know, and we're always rational about things, reasonable about things.
We try
it
to
be. It is so important to not believe everything that you come across because there is a ton of bullshit out there and a ton of bullshitters. To be real, there's a lot of bullshitters going around. And so you have to really like keep your, you know, to be smart about things and like make good decisions and really think hard before you just, because if not, you'll fall for everything that's on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, you'll fall. Yeah. You'll definitely believe everything that you hear and see. Mm-hmm. And like something, I mean, even, and we're not even saying that, it doesn't happen to us because we get fooled by shit all the time. And, you know, I always feel so stupid when I realize like something was actually hoaxed or not true. And
we don't get straight up fooled.
Yeah. I mean, not fooled. I mean, I'm always skeptical, but it's like,
cause we always do our research before we talk about it, you know?
No. I'm not saying, I'm just saying like in general in life, I'm not saying like the stuff we cover on anything we cover on the podcast or videos is well researched. And obviously we try to know what we're talking about. So it's not just like we're,
just going about it.
But you just have to be careful and, you know, can't believe everything someone says either. That's been a big problem. It's like everybody just believes like
any famous, if it has like a lot of retweets if they have, on the thread, it's real.
Or just like if they're a popular person or have a following that somehow they're like more credible because of that. But that's not the case. So.
Nope. But anyway, today.
Wait. Getting ahead.
Oh, I'm okay. Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Virgo.
There's a reason I read an outline so that you can follow along and keep our spot. But another thing we wanted to talk about that a lot of you have been asking about too is like Scott Kelly, the astronaut, came back from space after spending a year in the International Space Station, and NASA's doing a twin study on him and his brother Mark to see what happens to your body and to your DNA and things like that when you go into space for prolonged periods of time. And he was in space for a year. And oftentimes astronauts that go to the International Space Station are only there for 6 months. So this was kind of a prolonged period of time. So they're studying the body, see what happens. Because if we ever want to fucking go to Mars or any other planet, I mean, we got to know you wouldn't want to like go out there and realize you just fucking like deteriorate in like, you know, a year of being in space and you're fucked. Like, we need to know what happened. So one of the things that was really big and going viral was that Scott Kelly returned from space and somehow his DNA got changed. Like his DNA's changed.
Damn.
But that's actually not true.
Oh, it's not?
No. And I didn't totally read into it when I first read the headlines, but...
Fake news.
There were stories that this week that proclaimed that the DNA of former NASA astronaut Scott Kelly changed during his year living on the International Space Station. And they say that 7% of his genes did not return back to normal when he came back to Earth. And they tried to make it seem like the space actually permanently altered his genetic code. But that's not true. It did not genetically alter his code. Like, his code did not get altered.
That would make no sense anyway.
It'd be like, how? But the idea behind this twin study that NASA was doing with Mark and Scott was that Mark would be the control because he would be the one here on Earth. And then, obviously, Scott is in space. And they have a nearly identical genetic copy. So they were NASA was trying to find out, you know, how a space environment would impact Scott's body and then compare it to Mark's body.
But it didn't.
Some things did happen, though. That's the thing. It's like
his gut bacteria changed significantly while he was in space. Interesting.
Which is, that's interesting. His genetic code did not change, but he did experience genetic changes. What happened was is that the protective caps on the ends of his DNA strands, known as telomeres, increased while in space. Space didn't permanently alter 7% of his DNA. Instead, what happened was is that there were hundreds of unique mutations in their genome when they observed Scott when he got back to Earth, according to NASA. So what actually happened was the gene expression was altered. So we're getting into genetics here, and I don't have a great understanding of genetics, but gene expression refers to how active a particular piece of DNA is. Because DNA produces little tiny messengers of information known as mRNA. Which cells use to make proteins that carry out of all your body's basic functions.
Did you ever have to biology. Make a cell in biology?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you make it out of?
Oh, like physically make a cell?
Yeah, that was like the big thing at our school.
No, I didn't
make
do that.
Cells. I made a cell out of Jell-O and brought it in. And I like put all the different, really? What are they called? What are like the little things like inside of it?
The nucleus and all that stuff?
Yeah, but what are those called? Like they're called something. Oh, mitochondria?
Yeah, mitochondria.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I remember we'd have to do like worksheets on like
seventh grade.
Well, dude, I haven't been in a biology class in years. So like, how am I supposed to remember that
stuff? We took college bio together and we sucked at it. Oh no, the teacher sucked.
Yeah.
We tried pretty hard, but it was hard as shit. I got a C, Josh got a B, but that we had to work hard for that.
It was hard though. Yeah. No, it was no joke.
No, but I made a Jell-O thing and I put like different like candies inside the Jell-O as the different little like micro organisms.
Was it like a ball of Jell-O or how'd you do it? Just like
it was
a pan?
Bowl. Like it was a straight bowl. Like me and my mom like formed it and then we like flipped it over and like it was just like a Jell-O thing.
Nice.
Yeah,
did
it
you win?
Cool.
Were you the coolest one?
I don't think so. I mean, people like tried really hard. I was like made some Jell-O and like stuck some candy in it, flipped it over.
Did you eat some after?
No, ew. Gross.
Like, hey, everybody, here's my cell. Eat some of it. I would have done that. I would have started eating it. But so to finish up this story, though, scientists studying Scott found that much of his gene expression changed while in space, and about 93% of his expression levels went back to normal when he got home. However, 7% of his genes related to his immune system, DNA repair, bone and bone formation, and more were still a little out of whack when he returned. So it definitely alters your
affected him.
Yeah, it definitely affects you and alters your
interesting
gene expressions.
Do you
but
think
it
changes you more
changes
like
the
further you are from Earth too? Like if someone was on Mars, would they be affected more? I don't know.
You almost have to wonder, like maybe there's, I mean, actually I don't wonder because I think there is, but I think there is a very powerful connection that we as humans have with the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And whether it's, you know, the magnetic field or whatever it is, I think there is something very critical to our survival that the planets offer us. And maybe if we're on another planet, we get that same benefit. But I just feel like Earth is just such a unique planet and is just so perfect in the way that it is and the way that it supports life here that if we were to like go out into space or go to other planets that we might have problems with this and we would need some help from technology or something because our bodies just may not be able to deal with, you know, the type of environment that's out there.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And maybe that's why aliens don't come to us either. Their bodies can't handle Earth.
Right.
You know?
It could be. Could be.
Maybe we're all meant to just stay in our little fucking areas.
We each have our own little worlds, and if you venture out of it, you just die. It's possible. I mean, it's definitely possible.
All right.
But today we wanted to...
30-minute intro today.
Today we wanted...
Kind of a split episode. Sorry, I just cut you off like twice. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry. I'm going to put my nose in the corner. And
people are like, God damn it, Kendall. You're always cutting him off.
I'm sorry. You do it to me too, though. Okay, go ahead.
But we wanted to dedicate today's episode to the great Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Just because he's such an important person to this planet and to science and to discovery and just an inspirational guy. And unfortunately, he passed away this past Wednesday, March 14th, at 76 years old. And if you don't know who Stephen Hawking is for whatever reason, I mean, you need to know who he is. And after this podcast, you'll know a lot about him. But he was a iconic English theoretical physicist. So he was into all of the interesting shit, space, the cosmos, you know, anything related to physics,
he had a very
to
woke
gravity.
Mind.
Yeah. Very, very woke mind, very open-minded individual. And, yeah, he
did
died.
You know he lived like way longer than he was supposed to, though, like 50 years past what they expected for
yeah,
him?
Yeah, that was actually something I looked up today. It was like because Stephen Hawking had ALS, which is a debilitating neurological disease.
Remember the ALS ice bucket challenge?
Yep.
A lot of people probably remember that.
Absolutely. And like, on average, like over 50% of people that are diagnosed with ALS, and once they're diagnosed, they usually have 3 to 5 years left. And then 25% live more than 3 to 5 years, but it's not 50 years like he lived. Yeah. He lived a long time after being diagnosed with ALS, because he was diagnosed at 21 years old.
Wow.
With ALS. And he still lived at 50 plus years. That's incredible.
Damn, that is.
Which makes you think like even more that he was a special individual and a special human being to this planet. And he had some, he had a mission here. And when we look at some of the stuff he worked on, he, I think he accomplished his mission.
I think so too.
Absolutely. But he passed away in Cambridge, England, and his children, Lucy, Robert, and Tim, said that he was a great scientist and an extraordinary man whose work and legacy will live on for many years. His courage and persistence will, with his brilliance and humor, inspired people across the world. He once said that it would not be much of a universe if it wasn't home to the people you love. We will miss him forever.
I love that.
That's a great quote.
Great quote.
He was very in touch with, you know, not only the cosmos, but with people too. Like, he had a major impact on people. And even with this debilitating disease, he still made a major impact on people's lives.
Well, think about how many people he inspired who have disabilities that are like, you know what? You can be one of the
that was most his whole smart. Thing. That was his whole thing. His whole thing was like,
nothing should hold you
back. No matter what happens to you in your life, you can always succeed at something. And that's what I was trying to say in our last podcast episode, was like, I truly think we all have a gift, and everybody just has to figure out what that gift is. And you do have something to offer the world and offer other people. It's just a matter of figuring out what it is. And sometimes it takes a long time to figure out what unique gift you have and what you have to offer the rest of the world. And for him, it was immense knowledge about really crazy, trippy things like black holes and gravity and all sorts of cool things. But Stephen Hawking, he was an exceptional scientist, and he was renowned for contributions to the study of the universe, everything from the origins of the cosmos to the mysterious nature of black holes. And he worked at this for over 50 years, and he never slowed down, even with his disease. And ALS gradually paralyzes you and eventually confines you to a wheelchair.
Oh, it's so sad.
And that, I mean, you probably know he was in a wheelchair for most of his life, and a highly advanced one. Yeah, and can't even, like, it completely takes away all muscle functionality. Like, you can't move anything. You're just like in this like stagnant state, and you can't talk, you can't do anything.
But you know, maybe like,
but your mind is still there.
Yeah.
You still have your brain, 100% your brain.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
That is interesting. But it's interesting to think about, like, when something like that happens to you, like, I think that was supposed to happen to him, like, that he was supposed to, like, be able to have this, you know, quiet view of things, just be able to be in his head and, like, thinking and, like, real, you know, it kind of just, like, maybe it's something that he had to go through, and that was part of his life plan, like, his talked about, you know, reincarnation last week.
Soul mission.
Maybe that was his soul mission.
Well, think about like,
obviously it is.
You have to think about it. Like, maybe if he hadn't had ALS and, you know, went through all the hardships with that, that maybe he wouldn't have gotten as far or been as like, you know, what's the word? Sorry.
Like legendary.
Yeah. Or legendary, or just, excited about the work that he was doing.
Yeah.
And motivated to do the things that he did.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know how much time I have to live, so I'm literally going to push it to the limits. And he did. Yeah. And that's what's so amazing, is he did so much in his life.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody that, you know, has this horrible disease.
Yeah.
But he was a longtime Cambridge professor, and he was known for roaming around campus in his electric wheelchair, going from one engagement to another and speaking in his robotic voice of his speech synthesizer. Mm-hmm. Which his wheelchair was super high tech. Intel developed it.
Yeah.
And like, he had like cutting edge like technology that was literally like, was able to read his brain and his cheek movements in order to, and eye movements in order to
Figure. Oh wow.
Depict what? Yeah, it's so he highly wasn't advanced. Typing it. No.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't. No. Wow, that's incredible.
It's like thinking it basically, and it was typing it out.
Imagine if more people could have that. Like poor people who need access to something like that. Like, or just like the average person. I'm sure that's extremely expensive. Like most people couldn't. Oh, we wouldn't be able to afford that if that happened to us.
No.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That really gives him the ability to like freely think and talk. That's so cool.
It did. It allowed him to do everything he wanted to do still.
Wow.
Even though he was confined to a wheelchair.
Wow.
He could still communicate just fine. He gave lectures and stuff. Like he could do all of that still. No problem. But I'm going to quickly play some of the most memorable quotes from Stephen Hawking, just so you can hear some of them, because they're truly amazing and they really do define his legacy as a person.
I am very aware of the preciousness of time. Seize the moment. Act now.
Why should we go into space? It won't solve any of our immediate problems on planet Earth, but it will give us a new perspective on them and cause us to look outwards rather than inwards.
Yeah.
We are all time travelers, journeying together into the future. But let us work together to make that future a place we want to visit. Be brave, be determined, overcome the odds. The present exponential growth cannot continue indefinitely. Yet if, as I hope, basic science becomes part of general awareness, what now appear as the paradoxes of quantum theory will seem as just common sense to our children's children. However, to a large extent, we shall have to rely on mathematical beauty and consistency to find the ultimate theory of everything. I have been enormously privileged, through my work, to be able to contribute to our understanding of the universe. But it would be an empty universe indeed if it were not for the people I love and who love me.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That really was.
Seriously, it's so, so inspirational.
Profound.
Literally profound. I mean, so much truth spoken there, and it's so inspiring to hear that from him.
Yeah.
Overcoming definitely. The odds. I mean, he was all about, you know, making the most of your life and not letting things like diseases or illnesses or whatever it may be stop you. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. And you can overcome anything.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so amazing. But Stephen Hawking is perhaps known for one of his most famous works, and that was a book, A Brief History of Time from the Big Bang to Black Holes, which he published in 1988, and he's sold over 10 million copies. So his work is obviously very well respected, very popular, and a lot of people don't know this about him, but he was actually he was a pretty funny guy, and he loved to have fun. And a funny story of his is that in 2009, he decided to throw a party with lots of champagne, and he didn't release the invitations to the event until after it was over. And the point, Hawking said, was to determine whether time travel was real. If the guests he'd picked had shown up to the party, Hawking would have proof that time travelers exist in the future. He said, I sat there a long time, but no one came. Is what he said about it.
That's so funny.
It's like a joke. He did it like, obviously, he was probably like, nobody's going to come if I don't tell anybody about
it. Champagne party?
Yeah, he like had a party by himself where he was hoping that time travelers would come to it.
What? Okay. That's so funny. He loves time travel.
He does. I mean, he's just like, his whole goal was like to figure out everything. Yeah. Like the theory of everything is literally a movie that they did about his life, which I can't, it's fairly new too, and I can't believe I haven't seen it yet. Definitely need to watch that, which kind of tells about his life and everything. But he was actually born on January 8th, 1942 in Oxford. He attended St. Albans School as a child and University College at Oxford as a young man.
He's a Capricorn? Mm-hmm. Of course.
Of course he's a Cappy.
Could have called that with his struggles.
Yeah.
Capricorns have so many challenges.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cappies out there. It makes you strong, though. You can be like Stephen Hawking. They're tough as hell, and they have an important mission here.
Inspirational people.
For sure.
But originally, Stephen Hawking actually wanted to study math, but supposedly his school didn't offer courses in the subject, so he went with physics instead.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. It's almost like butterfly effect. Like if he had went the math route, would we know everything we know about black holes right now?
Probably not.
So it's interesting to think about. Like if he was just like a mathematician.
Yeah, maybe not.
But he went into physics, and in 1962, Hawking arrived at the University of Cambridge to work on cosmology, the study of the origins and evolution of the universe. So I swear, if I were to go back and do it over again, I'd go to college and I'd study cosmology. I would. I would be an astrophysicist or something. I just wish I would have taken school more seriously. That's one thing I realized is like, God, I did not try as hard in school as I could have.
Okay, and really, Josh. Like,
did as good as I could have.
Taking college classes in fucking high school, dude.
I know, but even that was like still not good enough to get like scholarships and go. Yeah, I did. I failed a math class, and that was the thing. It's like, in order to go into physics, you got to be good at math. You got to be.
It wasn't because you were bad at math. It was because you just didn't go.
Well, it was a fucking college class at 7 a.m. or something ridiculous. Like, and I lived a long ways away from the college. I was like, most days
you got
I was like,
fight over that. Remember in high school, I was so mad at you.
No, you did when I told you.
I was like, dude, you. So at like at one point, Josh just gave up on the class and just decided not to go anymore.
Yeah, I did. I just thought I forgot. That was bad. That was a bad decision.
Hey, you were 17. You know?
I was young, dumb, and broke. So
I lost my license that year. Too many stop signs.
Yeah, that's true. You got no room to talk.
I do not. I had to ride the bus senior year, part of the year.
I had to pick you up from school sometimes.
Yep.
Because you had no car.
Or my mom had to drop me off.
Your license was literally suspended. I remember that. Yeah, because I drove us everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny. And I was even in the car one time when she got pulled over.
Oh, yeah.
And what was hilarious is that I even knew the cop that pulled her over.
Yeah, you did. I thought you were going to get me out of it.
Yeah, I got out of the car and I was like, what's up, man? And I was like, sorry that she didn't. And he's like, sorry, man, but I have to give her a ticket because she already has two tickets. Because like, you got them all like really close.
Dude,
together.
It wasn't just two. I got like five total.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy, dude. Who does that? Who gets five stops?
I swear
it's
because I was driving an Xterra with like all these dumb teenage looking stickers and like seniors on my back windshield. I was just
profiled.
Like painting a picture to like pull me over. And profiled. I never just ran stop signs. It's not like I was like running through things.
No,
I
just
did
rolled
the California
through a little
stop.
Bit.
You know, a little bit of roll. They're like, we need to see all of four of your tires stop and your car
ridiculous.
To lurch back before we know you've stopped. I'm like, bitch, it's 6 a.m. I'm on the way to school. I'm in a neighborhood.
Seriously.
I got pulled over like 3 times in the same neighborhood. Oh, okay. This was a total tangent. Okay. Get back here.
Sorry, back to Stephen. But in 1963, shortly after his 21st birthday, Stephen Hawking was diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS. And Hawking beat doctors' grim predictions for his lifespan and lived with the condition for over 50 years. And yeah, like I said, the average time after diagnosis is only 2 to 5 years. So the fact he lived 50 plus is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So what did Stephen Hawking work on during his life? He worked on a lot of different things, but perhaps the greatest contribution and discovery that he made and contributed to was something called Hawking radiation, which is actually one of the biggest breakthroughs in the 20th century, which Hawking radiation detailed an unprecedented understanding of black holes as well, and the interplay between quantum effects and general relativity. Because, so like, Hawking, he mainly focused on black holes. Like, he really, I mean, what a more interesting subject could you do other than black holes? Black holes are truly incredible.
Because he was very interested in like, time travel, and so obviously black holes is part of that. Which is so interesting. Can I just real fast?
Yeah, go for it.
So interesting. I definitely need to do a podcast on John Teeter. Guys love that story. I love it.
It's so interesting.
It is so interesting.
It blew my mind when you showed me the first time. I was like,
yeah, it's crazy. What? I know my video on that is like one of my favorite videos I've ever done. And I don't know if it's true. Like, it could totally be bullshit. It could, but I love
what about time travel though? Do you think time travel's bullshit?
I'm not sure. I mean, how would I know? Stephen Hawking doesn't know. True. But John Teeter said in 2000 on an internet forum, he posted, and this is all confirmed that he actually, whoever this person was, whether it was a time traveler or not, whoever it is, said that Stephen Hawking was going to come forward in a matter of years and admit that he was wrong about black holes.
Which is true.
The biggest blunder of his career. And then a few years later in 2004, Stephen Hawking says that he was wrong about black holes.
So what he said exactly was that he first believed that black holes, anything that goes into a black hole gets consumed and destroyed ultimately, and that there's nothing ever escapes a black hole.
But and now he thinks it could be.
He later thinks that.
You could not get crushed by gravity.
That black holes emit their transformed contents back into the universe. And he also said that it's possible that previously to 2004, he had also held out the possibility that disappearing matter could travel through a black hole into a parallel universe. And this is a very popular theory that, like, if you go through a black hole, it's possible to pop out in another universe. And he now does not believe that there is, like, a baby universe. So it seems like he doesn't even really believe that there's even parallel universes, that even if you went through a black hole, you would come out wherever you are, but you'd still be in the same universe.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. But to understand his concept of, like, Hawking radiation and black holes better, he used the analogy of a black hole is like a vitamin tablet that fizzles out in water. It can dissipate in time. And he turned the scientific community on its head because the common description of classical physics states that black holes are super densely packed objects of matter and that nothing can escape from them. So how can they fizzle out? So here's him talking about black holes real quick. It's interesting because he can explain it far better than we can.
From the outside, you can't tell what is inside a black hole. You can throw television sets, diamond rings, or even your worst enemies into a black hole, and all the black hole will remember is the total mass and the angular momentum and electric charge. Quantum mechanics implies that the whole of space is filled with pairs of virtual particles and antiparticles that are constantly materializing in pairs, and then coming together again and annihilating each other. One member of a pair of virtual particles may fall into the hole, leaving the other member without a partner with which to annihilate. The forsaken particle or antiparticle may fall into the black hole after its partner, but it may also escape to infinity, where it appears to be radiation emitted by the black hole. The message of this lecture is that black holes ain't as black as they are painted. They are not the eternal prisons they were once thought. Things can get out of a black hole, both to the outside, and possibly, to another universe. So, if you feel you are in a black hole, don't give up. There's a way out.
I think I'm in a black hole. God damn it!
He's so profound. That is great. And so I apologize. It does sound like he thinks that black holes can take you to other universes. So that was wrong.
Dude.
But that's incredible. So the fact that black holes even exist is just so interesting and just such a mind-boggling idea to think about. Like, holy shit. These things actually exist out in space. That's why I always come, whenever I hear black hole, I always come back to Interstellar, the movie.
Me too.
So good.
Such a good example of how this would work.
Yeah, and a visual example too, like seeing it and then seeing Matthew McConaughey go through it. Then he like ends up in this like other dimension.
And then when he's like reaching out to Anne Hathaway and she sees it like in the past. But it's like,
the time travel aspect. Cool. They did a really good job of like presenting those ideas of time travel and black holes. So interesting.
Oh, I fucking love that movie. It's so good. If you've never seen it, seriously, see it.
No, it's literally top three movies for me.
Give yourself 3 hours and make sure you're woke. Put your thingy cap on and watch that shit.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand it, pause it and look it up. It's so good.
It's really good. I mean, honestly, you need to watch that movie like 3 times before you really get it and understand it.
I've only seen it twice.
Because the first time you're just in awe the whole time. You're like, oh, this is incredible. But you like miss all of like the scientific parts of it and all of the details about the singularity and all these different things. It's so interesting.
So interesting.
But Stephen Hawking also has been very vocal about artificial intelligence, which is very interesting. And he's actually warned that independent artificial intelligence could end humanity. And he claimed that efforts to produce thinking machines poses a threat to our very existence. And in an interview with the BBC, he said that the primitive forms of artificial intelligence we already have proved very useful. But I think that I think the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of human race. So like right now, artificial intelligence like Siri and Alexa, Watson, you know, things like that have proven very useful.
Yeah.
But it is a very primitive form of artificial intelligence so far. Like, I don't think people really understand artificial intelligence or how far it's going to go.
No.
If we let it go, like it's going to go, we're literally going to have the debate of whether or not a robot has a consciousness or not, because they're going to be so intelligent, even more intelligent than us at one point, that it's going to get crazy. Like it could get totally crazy. And we'll do a whole podcast episode about AI and about the singularity and stuff about when robots become smarter than us.
Elon Musk is really worried about that too.
Yeah. But he said that Hawking didn't deny that there are many benefits to artificial intelligence, but he has claimed that further refinements on the artificial intelligence program would make it take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. That's crazy. So imagine like Siri being smart enough to realize that she could be better than the form she's in right now. And then she just decided to create a better form of herself because she has the knowledge to like program it and create it. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
I am going to save my opinions on that for the one, because we'll just go into such a deep thing if I even say what I'm thinking about that.
All right. This is good though. You'll like this one. I mean, if you haven't realized already, Stephen Hawking's woke. I mean, he's been thinking about some shit.
Well, you'd have a lot of time to think if you can't talk that much. Imagine how much more you'd be thinking if you couldn't talk as much.
Absolutely. I just think about myself. I'm like, I'd be so in my head thinking about this.
Oh, you would, dude. You would be.
I don't need to talk to anybody. I just talk to myself in my head.
Interesting.
But according to Stephen Hawking, he believes that humans likely only have about 1,000 years left on Earth. He warns that the only other thing that could save us from certain extinction is creating colonies in other parts of the solar system.
Holy shit, dude. Can you imagine, like, if we were extinct? People are so clueless.
He's been quoted as saying, "We must continue to go into space for the future of humanity." Hawking explained, "I don't think we will survive another 1,000 years without escaping beyond our fragile planet," which he's got there's a lot of truth to that, because the planet is not in a great, great shape right now, especially
it's really
for supporting humans. And, you know, a lot of it is due to the rising population and obviously global warming and things that we're doing to make the conditions a lot more difficult for us to live in. The rising sea levels, like we talked about, like, you know, it's not getting any better per se. So, I mean, we saw it firsthand in the Great Barrier Reef. It was like all bleached out.
Yeah, it was really disappointing.
And it was really like, it was disappointing because it was like, this probably used to be an incredibly beautiful reef, like full of life. And because the water's gotten so warm, the bleaching effect takes place and it kills the coral. It was just insane.
Yeah.
So I agree with him. Obviously, I think space exploration is absolutely the most important thing we should be doing and what we should be spending trillions of dollars on, not fucking war. Why are we focused on fighting war still? Like, my God, guys.
Because war makes the government money.
Right, exactly. It's just like the government's got their priorities all fucked up because Dude, if we get to the point where we can't naturally live on this planet anymore, we're fucked, man. We're so fucked.
Yeah.
And if we don't have the technology and ability to go to, you know, another planet, like, everybody likes to talk about how we should terraform Mars, but it's like, we can't even fucking get to Mars right now. So why are we even talking about terraforming it and living on it?
I know. Building, I think a lot of people don't realize like how far away Mars is.
And it's far. It's a 9-month trip there.
Yeah.
Holy crap. In a spacecraft.
Just to the closest one.
And Venus is closer than Mars, but Mars is the only planet nearby that could probably be terraformed, or we could build a colony on.
Well, I think our best chance of survival is if aliens are real and they teach us how to space travel at an actual way that works, that's fast. Because they're obviously not wasting that hundreds of years. So,
well, it's clear they figured out how to traverse space and time, bend it, go through like little wormholes and whatever.
They're probably much more evolved than us.
To travel at much faster rates. I mean, if they're capable of interstellar travel, so one star system to another.
Yeah, then they're really advanced.
Then going from Earth to Mars is going to be fucking like...
so easy for me.
Yeah, they could do it blindfolded. They're like, this is ridiculous. You guys are like literally like happy you can fly up to your little space station 2,000 miles above the Earth.
Seriously.
So Hawking is very worried about that. And he's estimated that self-sustaining human colonies on Mars won't be a practical option for at least another 100 years. And he emphasizes our need to be extremely careful in the coming decades, because although the chance of disaster to planet Earth in a given year may be quite low, it adds up over time, and it becomes a near certainty in the next 1,000 or 10,000 years. And by that time, we should have spread out into space and to other stars, so a disaster on Earth would not mean the end of the human race.
Mm.
Which I think he's absolutely right. I think if there's anything we've learned from history and from what we know about ancient civilizations, is that I think there absolutely is periods of time on this planet, and then there's a reset button, and Mother Earth just decides to reset itself. And something catastrophic happens and sort of civilization starts over. I mean, mm-hmm. It's very possible that there's a cycle to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, we want to save ourselves or keep pushing this version of humanity into the future, we need to go to other planets and other star systems.
Well, maybe we will. Cause like, think about it, in the last like 60 years, we've gone to, you know, the moon.
Yeah, and I mean, we've sent like probes and things like that to the planets and stuff. So,
and it sounds like we're getting, like, they're doing a Mars mission. They're trying to get that together.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely going to be going to Mars in our lifetime.
I think 100%. We're going to see so many cool things in our lifetime. And I have faith in humanity that, you know, when it really gets, we're just like, we like to push our limits so much. Like, we wait till things are just a disaster before trying to like come up with solutions. That's how it feels.
Like the human race is literally procrastinators. All of us are.
Yeah. Or like it's someone else's problem.
Like, we're always someone like, else will deal with it. As we've seen with like fucking shootings. It's like we literally wait until it's like so bad that there's no other option.
Choice, yeah.
And that's how it's going to be with global warming. That's how it's going to be with everything. It's going to be like, wait till the absolute last minute, right before things.
Just choked.
Right before things get bad, that we actually make some progress, which sucks.
But. I know, but it seriously does feel like it takes so long for anyone. But I really hope that eventually, I mean, we really are developing so many things. There's so many brilliant minds. People like Elon Musk give me hope for the future, you know?
Elon Musk, man. Mm.
Dude, Elon his Musk. New system is so cool. His new, like, travel system. What is it called? Like
Hyperloop?
Hyperloop. It's, like, this sick thing. It basically looks like these, like, little glass, like, boxes.
So futuristic.
And you can stand in it, and you don't even have to sit down. Did you notice? Like, you'd think for something to go extremely fast, you'd have to be strapped in, buckled in. They showed people in the demo just, like, on their phones, not even holding on to anything. And it's going
so fast.
So fast. And it goes underground. There's, like, a ton. So he's trying to develop this. I mean, Elon Musk is actively changing the world. Like, he is making... his impact is huge.
Oh, yeah. He's changing the entire planet.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. We need more... that's the thing, is we need more people like him. And he's not the only one. I mean, there's other companies and stuff, like...
they just don't have the power.
I just don't... I think he's just got that, like, creative mind and he's got those ambitions to really, like, push the envelope, you know, push push it to the limit and see what
we can
do. He seems
like he has a natural intuition about the future, too.
And he's not scared of failure, either.
No.
Like, he had a fucking rocket blow up in 2016, and that didn't stop him. He's like, next year, we're doing it again. That's like millions of dollars down the drain,
ain't
but
no
whatever.
Stopping us now.
Yeah. He was like, fuck that. We're doing it.
Okay. That's interesting.
But Stephen Hawking, woke dude, believed in aliens, actually. He also believed that...
convinced than ever that we are not alone.
Yeah. And if aliens do know of us, they will be vastly more powerful and may not see us as any more valuable than we see bacteria, which is very true.
That's so depressing.
And it's depressing to think about.
Some fucking bacteria that, like, over here. Damn.
But, I mean, these beings could be on a totally different level of consciousness than we are and just be like, you guys are so primitive. You guys are like, literally like little apes.
Yeah.
Running around.
That's how it feels.
So selfish.
We are so selfish. All right.
But he also believes, he argued the fact that belief in a creator was not incompatible with science and that the Big Bang was as inevitable as gravity, which is very open-minded, especially for a physicist. Because if you know, if you ever listen to physicists or astrophysicists, a lot of them are very much either atheists or just like there's nothing or, you know, but the fact that he was willing to consider that a creator is not incompatible with science and that there literally could be some form of a creator to this universe, to the space, to everything that
of course
exists.
There could be.
Well, some people, like some scientists, just completely throw that out the window because they're like, they're too science. There's like, there's no evidence, there's no facts. So absolutely not.
That's
possible.
Ridiculous.
That's I know, so ridiculous. But that's how a lot of people are.
There's a lot of evidence of things happening.
A lot of really smart people just completely dismiss the idea of a creator or some sort of force or being or something that is
just a spiritual side
profoundly
of things.
More advanced than we are and could have created us. Stephen Hawking, like I said, gave a 1,000-year deadline of we need to go out somewhere else in the solar system, otherwise we could be doomed here on Earth. And one of his quotes that he said was that it is a glorious time to be alive and doing research into theoretical physics and praising the importance and positivity of how our fundamental understanding of the universe has advanced in our lifetime. Our picture of the universe has changed a great deal in the last 50 years, and I am happy if I have made a small contribution. The fact that we humans who are ourselves mere fundamental particles of nature have been able to come this close to understand the laws that govern us and the universe is certainly a triumph. I 100% agree with him on that. Like when you actually stop to think about like us as humans, and if you think about evolution and you think about how far we've come as a species, the fact that we are able to consciously able to think and ponder about the cosmos and about black holes and think about where we came from. Like that incredible. Just, it does show us how advanced we are.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us the potential that we have to go so much farther than we have right now. Like
we
may be able to figure out a lot of the secrets of the universe. We might be capable of it.
I definitely think we're capable.
If we're capable of thinking about ideas of it, I'm sure we could probably figure it out too. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like with time and maybe the right technology, help from aliens. I mean, maybe other alien races out there have figured out the secrets of the universe.
Yeah, maybe they have.
He also said that humans are overdue for a return trip to the moon. He said that.
Sorry, I just saw the craziest thing on the internet.
What?
This is crazy. Oh, I shouldn't laugh. I should not laugh. I don't know if anyone was injured, but I just laugh when people fall.
Terrifying video shows
people
violently so being mean. Thrown from a chairlift in Georgia.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It just, the way that it does it, look, it kind of just like, you guys should Google this. Look this up. Like, chairlift. It's crazy, though. It, like, threw people off, dude.
Why is that? Why is that moving so fast?
It like, malfunctioned, and it started going in reverse.
Shit.
Watch what... It started going in reverse,
my God.
So all these people are getting thrown off of it. Tons of people are jumping before anything bad happens. Oh, yeah, they're smart to jump. People are jumping.
Because it's, like, crashing.
I don't even know what.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I just saw this. Someone got, this is why I don't fuck with chairlifts, dude. I was saying this before. I don't, that's why I quit skiing.
I always get a little nervous. I've fallen so many times getting off the chairlift.
Dude, I was like the person that fell hard. And then a bunch of people fell on top.
I just hate how they put two people per chair.
Yeah.
Like you need more room than like that. Like I always like cross, like I snowboard.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Oh my God. This was is actually somebody? Really bad. I feel bad for laughing now. Yeah, that they just threw someone. Oh my God. You didn't even get to see the beginning of this.
That's crazy, man.
I know. That is crazy.
That's insane.
All right. Well.
But the last major thing that Stephen Hawking worked on and became a part of at the end of his life was something called the Breakthrough Initiatives, which is essentially an alien hunting organization. A lot of people don't know he was a part of this.
I didn't know about that.
Ooh, and he was on the board of this with another man named Yuri Milner, and Mark Zuckerberg also was on the board for this. And the Breakthrough Initiatives is a program of scientific and technological exploration probing the big questions of life in our universe. Are we alone? Are there habitable worlds in our galactic neighborhood? Can we make the great leap to the stars, and can we think and act together as one world in the cosmos? That's a incredible. Great initiative.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Definitely. He's such a like man of the future. You know, he's like so far ahead of his time.
Absolutely. And his initiatives were something called Breakthrough Listen, which Breakthrough Listen was just in the news most recently when that bizarre rock pretty much or asteroid came flying through the solar system.
Oh, that was so crazy. The flat rock, if you guys
remember. Yeah, the like flat elongated rock that some thought maybe even part of a spacecraft or something, just because of the flight path and how fast it was coming in and how close it came to Earth and everything.
Yeah, that was so cool.
The Breakthrough Initiatives actually like sent something out to try to like look at it and
He was the one that
Wow. To try to see if they could detect any sort of signal coming from that object that was just like cruising through our solar system.
God, that's
crazy.
I'm so curious about that. Has it left our solar system completely yet?
No. It's probably out almost to Jupiter, Saturn now.
Dang.
It's out there.
Space is so big. Damn.
So Breakthrough Listen is by far the most comprehensive, intensive, and sensitive search ever undertaken for artificial radio and optical signals. A complete survey of the million nearest stars, the plane and center of our galaxy, and the 100 nearest galaxies. And what's cool is that all data will be open to the public. So none of this NASA bullshit where they hide all this information from us. They don't give us all the data. This is completely public. I'm sure it's publicly funded. There's probably private donors, but obviously like Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook billionaires behind it. So,
yeah,
but I love seeing billionaires and like people, especially like tech giants and getting behind this search for extraterrestrial life. Yeah, I love
it. It's really cool.
It's really cool to see.
Because they're just opening their eyes. Like, obviously, dude, this is so big. Like now that we know how big the universe is and we know that there's possibilities.
I mean, there's like confirmed UFO footage being released and stuff. Like, come on, guys, it's time to wake up to the reality that we're not alone. Most likely. Like we're not alone here. No. There's interstellar visitors here. So let's try to communicate with them. Let's try to figure out how do we message with them. And another initiative is Breakthrough Message, which is actually a competition to design a message representing Earth, life, and humanity that could potentially be understood by another alien civilization. The aim is to encourage humanity to think together as one world and to spark public debate about the ethics of sending messages beyond Earth. That's great. We should be fucking getting together as a society and being like, all right, how do we want to represent ourselves to the rest of this fucking galaxy? Like,
yeah.
We got to break down these fucking divides, break down the walls. It's time to fucking join up as a human race.
Jeez, Josh.
I'm sorry.
You just said the F word like four times. I mean, I know I'm the sailor mouth over here, but
this is the fucking podcast. It's explicit for a reason.
I'm sorry to those who don't like. Some people don't like bad words. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. That's just how we are, dude. If I try to filter myself, I sound fake.
We want
to
make this as authentic of an experience as possible. And if any of you were to ever come hang out with us in person,
this is exactly
how we are. We literally say fuck every other sentence pretty much.
It's my
so,
favorite word.
I mean, it's a so great satisfying. Word. Just a fucking word.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just how I was raised. Everyone cussed in my house.
This is really interesting. This is the last thing I'll talk about with his breakthrough initiatives, but this is really interesting. There, a part of it is called Breakthrough Starshot, which is a $100 million research and engineering program aiming to demonstrate proof of concept for a new technology, enabling ultralight unmanned spaceflight at 20% of the speed of light. And they're basically going to send like nanobots on a mission, a flyby mission to the Alpha Centauri star system within a generation. So within the next 100 years, they want to send nano or like robots the size of a smartphone into space and
wow.
at 20% of the speed of light towards another star system. How cool is that? That's going to be the fucking day when we finally get like images and how cool would that be,
dude,
to see planets that aren't of the solar system?
Dude, that could totally happen in our lifetime. Even just see, remember we just got like around? Some pictures of Jupiter and how cool it was.
Yeah
imagine
seeing
so
a complete
cool.
alien planet.
Heard
of from Alpha Centauri star system.
Wow.
And like in the photographs, so you see like little craft or big craft flying around it or something.
That would be crazy.
That would just be like, that would literally change everything. It'd be the same as if, you know, aliens showed up at the White House or something, you know?
Well, I think there's definitely a good chance of that at least happening in the next, well, not the White House thing, but like.
Yeah, I think disclosure is
that's
coming.
That's funny you said White House, because someone actually did ask me that on my Q&A. Like one of the questions that I saw was like, if aliens aren't real, if they're real, why haven't they landed on the White House lawn?
Because they would be shot and killed on sight. That's what would happen.
They're like, these people are crazy down here.
They have
here.
To be careful, man. I mean,
especially they're like, we are not coming down during
if
the
they've
years.
Been if they've crashed and been captured before, why would they just come land and, you know, cause a big stir, you know?
Yeah, or they have some type of agreement.
Yeah, or there's an agreement, or they're just smart enough to realize like we need to come to terms with it on our own. Mm-hmm. And once we do, that will be the time for them to step forward and be like, okay, now that you guys are evolved enough to understand
And you won't just
who
kill
we are,
us or
you're not
going
to just imprison us and try to enslave us or something because you're scared of us.
Yeah.
There's so many possibilities. But we'll end it with this thing. This is so stupid, and I hate that I have to even bring this up, but because we cover conspiracy theories, of course, there's a fucking conspiracy theory about Stephen Hawking.
Oh, no. What is it?
It's so stupid. So the conspiracy theory is that the professor... Yeah.
Replaced with a lookalike
theory? Yeah, the whole cloning thing. There was like, he was replaced with... When he got ALS or something, he was replaced with an impersonating professor.
Maybe.
Ever since. But. And maybe that the voice of the professor was actually NASA, and maybe all the words were put together by these physicists. It's such an outlandish claim with absolutely zero evidence.
Like
that
the Beatles theory.
Yeah, it's exactly what Paul McCartney. Exactly. Yeah. So they're saying that he could have been swapped, blah, 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 and that he didn't maybe he didn't really die and everything else.
Okay.
Just craziness. No evidence. No, but people like to make up shit for everything.
Oh, yeah, dude. People love it.
But,
love it.
I hate that I have to leave on that, but let's just leave on the note that Stephen Hawking was an incredible human being, contributed so much to cosmology and the universe and understanding it and black holes. So much cool shit. Probably inspired so many people that have become physicists and...
Yeah. And a lot of stuff we talk about and we've learned about are, you know, things that he kind of started...
Absolutely. Interstellar would have never happened if it wasn't for him.
Yeah. He was an incredible individual, and I mean, just so inspiring. His challenges were so inspiring, and that, I mean, to outlive, you know, 50 years is just crazy.
It's a miracle.
It's a total miracle, and there's
he had a mission.
Something is very special about him, and you know, I know in our last podcast we talked about reincarnation. Like whatever you believe, personally, I just like to think that Stephen is, you know, on to the next. He has a new mission. He has something else going on, and. You know, right now, he's probably just recouping, looking over his incredible life. If you really do get, like, reviewed at the end of your life, like, Steven's going to get an A+. They're going to be like, dude, you really hit the ball out of the park. Your life was awesome.
Killed it, man. He killed it.
Yeah, he did. So,
dealing with a shitty-ass disease like ALS and still doing and talking and speaking and making all the discoveries that he did, and it's amazing.
It's incredible.
And I know, like, one of his greatest things that he wanted to do was to go into space. He really wanted to go into space and experience that. I mean, as a cosmologist, of course you want to go to space and see what it's like. I want to go to space, see what it's like.
Yeah.
But he never got to, but he did get to experience what zero gravity is like. Because believe it or not, there's like a plane.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Yeah. A lot of people know about that.
Yeah.
There's an anti-gravity plane that you can experience.
Zero-G without gravity. Like going into outer space.
Yeah.
I looked really it up cool. today. It was like 5,000 bucks. Yeah,
he
did do
that. I remember when he did that.
There was like pictures of him and he's like floating inside. That must have been so cool. He looked so happy like floating in there. Like that's so cool that he got to do that and experience that. So
maybe in the future, that kind of thing will be like just as common as a one of those indoor skydiving type places.
That, yeah. Not only just like zero G flights, but guys, space hotels are coming.
Oh, that's so cool.
Bigelow Aerospace Company is working on a space hotel that is going to be doable in our lifetime. So save your pennies, guys.
I'm sure it'll be outrageous.
It's going to be like $50,000.
Maybe in our next life, we can go to this.
Kim K will be like the first one to go to the space hotel.
Yeezy's like, oh my God. Anyway.
Anyway, guys, I think we'll wrap it up there. Rest in peace, Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
Such an inspiration. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you learned something interesting about him today. And he's just an inspiration to all of us. And to stay curious and to question everything and keep looking for answers to all of the mysteries of this complex and beautiful universe. It's so incredible.
It is.
I love it.
It is.
So we'll leave you guys with that. Thank you again for joining us today for episode number 10. I'm Josh Ledore, Kendall Ray here.
Kendall Ray.
In case you didn't know.
And thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week with another awesome podcast.
Yes,
and
you won't want to miss next week's episode.
You're going to love it.
It's going to blow your fucking mind. Until then, guys, stay woke, friends.
Stay woke. We'll see you next time.
I'm tired.